Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and Doc Holliday are rambling about those Los Angeles Rams. Ramble on. Hi, how are you? Welcome to another edition of Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce, the pride of Tater Town, and Doc Holliday. I'm Doc Holliday. He's Isaac Bruce. Isaac, what's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, Doc, man? Just let everybody know, man, Tater Town's my neighborhood where I grew up in South Florida, man. So, but I'm doing well. A lot to talk about today, man. Some, a lot of interesting stuff in the sports world, social world, kind of mixing it up. So let's have at it, man.
No doubt about it. Indeed, a lot to talk about on today's show. Like Isaac said, the Rams have finally put the pads on in training camp. Now's the time to show if they belong. Rookie wide receiver Van Jefferson is showing everybody he belongs. Coaches and players are excited about what he can do. Isaac, one of the best to ever play wide receiver, tells us what he likes about Van. Jefferson is not the only young Ram making plays so far. Other youngsters are stepping up in camp as well. And it seems that John Wolford has solidified himself as Jared Goff's backup at quarterback. Now, if the Rams want to make the playoffs, having a capable backup helps a lot in case Goff goes down. Did somebody say playoffs? Of course they did. I did. The NBA, MLB, and NHL are in full swing, and our partners at Bet Online have you covered. Now, I've been hearing a lot of garbage coming from Cowboy fans about how they're going to do this and how they're going to do that to our LA Rams on opening night at our house. I say, put your money where your trap is. Bet it. I'm going with the Rams. Isaac is going with the Rams. You got that much confidence, Cowboy fans? Bet. So take full advantage of sports being back and get in on the action with hundreds of odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. And there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today and sign up to receive your welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's betonline.ag and sign up today. Today, BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Now, Isaac, before we get into this show, man, before we get into some sports, we have to mention what has happened to another one of our brethren, man, Jacob Blake, Kenosha, Wisconsin. Shot seven times, man, unarmed, getting back in his car. I mean, Isaac, man, I know this is a sports talk show, man, but we have real life going on, man, and this stuff is just constantly happening. And not only is this discouraging, man, it's just extremely infuriating that we still have to deal with this type of abuse and treatment.
Well, Doc, I mean, you're absolutely right, man. It's unfortunate that, you know, this has happened again, but it's very fortunate that we have a platform where we can bring things like this up, man. It affects our community. It affects us as a people, as a whole, as a nation. And, you know, thoughts and prayers, we want to send them out to Jacob Blake there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Not only that, but last Friday, man, down in Lafayette, Louisiana, Trayford Pellerin, he was shot and killed, 11 shots by the police walking into a convenience store. And he was shot and killed. And it's just tragic because, you know, when we see, you know, others who are accosted by policemen in our communities, a lot of them get to go home at night. I mean, the policemen go home, the assailants, they go home. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, Mr. Jacob Blake, you know, he goes to the hospital, Trayford Pellerin, he's now been murdered in the street. So investigations have been launched. You know, my heart, my prayers go out to those families. And, you know, some of the leaders in Lafayette, Louisiana are calling for economic sanctions by the quote unquote African Americans in that city. So we just want to yell that from our podcast and make sure that if you're traveling to Lafayette, Louisiana, you're choosing to spend some money. It's going to be a trade for Thursdays. So we're going to go places that support our cause and those who look like us and spend money with people of color until, you know, we're heard. It seems as if kneeling isn't getting the job done. Social media stuff, it just isn't getting the job done because we're still seeing people that look like me and you, Doc, getting slain in the street by those who are supposed to protect and serve us.
Yeah, man, it's extremely disheartening, man. And prayers go out to those families, man. It's just, I know this is a sports show, and I appreciate you all listening, but Isaac and I have to discuss these things, man, because this is the type of stuff that affects us, that affects our community. We grew up, and we still get treated the same kind of way, man. So hopefully, you know, the all praises to the Most High, man. He'll fix this problem soon, because it's been out of hand a long time now. Getting back to football, Isaac. Hard Knocks last night, man. Episode 3, our Rams. I checked it out, man. It was pretty good. What you think about it, brother?
Well, that was pretty good, man. It was a decent show. You know, there's a lot of rhetoric, a lot of talk that's happening in training camp right now. You're now starting to end into the third and fourth weeks of training camps. They probably have one cut and another round of cuts that are coming up. So players are getting opportunities now. They should really be embedded in the culture, the offense playbook, the defense playbook, special teams playbook, and how coaches want you to play. I mean, you're at a point right now where coaches shouldn't have to coach effort, and they shouldn't have to coach, you know, running from station to station. So, you know, it's all about playing football, coaching football, and being able to execute at a high level in a pressure situation.
Yeah, man, and also the pads went on last week for the Rams for the first time, man, and watching that footage, and I'm hearing a lot of the young players, man, a lot of rookies, especially rookies. I know how it is, man. They're like, man, I can't wait till the pads go on, man. But, yeah, all right, bro, because I know a lot of rookies were scared. A lot of rookies were nervous. They say they talk a good game, but they're nervous, man. I mean, I don't want to say they were scared, but some were scared, but they're nervous because once you're in training camp and you're running around in shorts and helmets, everybody looks good, man. I mean, you're taking mental reps. You don't want to make mistakes, but if you make mistakes, you're probably not going to get your ass knocked off. But once those pads come on, all those vets and those players that's been in the league a lot longer, man, they move faster. And one of the reasons they move faster, they're in better conditioning. They're grown men. Plus, they know what they're doing. You're out there thinking, trying to make sure you got your assignment correctly with those pads on, and you get knocked off. And a lot of times, man, you're not used to that kind of speed. You're not used to that kind of strength. And you saw a couple of instances, man, especially with the Chargers, man. Cats just knocking cats on their ass, man. So it's good to see them with them pads going on like that, man. Bro, like I said, man, a lot of rookies, young people, scared, man. But once those pads go on, Isaac, man, you finally can see what dudes can really do, man.
Well, we talked about this earlier in a couple of podcasts that we had, man. We talked about how this year's training camp is going to be truly a proving ground. It's going to be the old school style training camp where you have to, you know, collide and collision with people in practice because, you know, with the lack of preseason games, you don't have that opportunity. So, you know, there was a lot of guys out there. You mentioned some of the rookies being afraid. Hey, some of the veterans, man, I do remember, man, even in preseason games, man, as long as I played, you get that sense of butterflies in your stomach, man, all the way up to that moment you get hit the very first time. So it happens in practice as well. You know, I have that little sense of anxiety just listening. And when you walk in, you finally see that message on the board of what are we wearing today? And it says full pads. You know, that anxiety starts coming up in your stomach because, you know, there's going to be some safeties coming down in the box that you have to pick up. There's going to have to be some slants that are ran. You have to go over the middle and catch these passes that are thrown. You just have to go out and be a football player. So once you see, you know, that the attire for the day is pads, it just lets you know and reminds you once again that this is the NFL, man, which is a collision sport. So get your mind right.
Yeah, you better get your mind right. Also, it seems like someone who has their mind right, man, is Rams rookie wide receiver out of Florida, man, Van Jefferson. It seems like he's making a lot of people say, damn, this young player can ball, man. In the scrimmage, man, it seemed like he got some run with the ones. A lot of Rams players and coaches and fans like what he's doing. And reporters as well speaking about what he's doing, man. You know, Van, he's 6'1", 200 pounds, man. Not the biggest wide receiver, but he's not small by no means. But I like him because he's smart, man. He's versatile. He's athletic. He can play inside. He can play outside. And just looking at him on film, you're like, okay, he can do some things, especially if he's running with the ones already during camp. They're trying to give him an opportunity. But not only that, they're giving him an opportunity because he's deserving and showing that he deserves an opportunity A lot of Rams fans real high on Van Jefferson. Isaac, one of the best to ever play wide receiver, one of the best to ever play the game. You looking at the young fella, man, what you like about Van?
Well, I tell you what, I can tell, and, you know, if you have an eye for it, you can tell why he's being promoted so fast. I mean, from, you know, probably the third group, second group, on to running some reps with the first team. And it probably has nothing really to do. It has something to do with his athletic ability, but most importantly, his biggest asset is what's between his ears. We mentioned it before. His dad, Sean Jefferson, played in the league a very long time. He's coached in the league a very long time. He's currently the head coach, assistant head coach over at the New York Jets right now. So Van has been accustomed to being around professional training camps, seeing a lot of people, taking a lot of mental reps, and played in the powerhouse of the SEC his college career. So when this guy comes in, he's able to pick up the jargon of the offense. He's able to pick up cold words types and pick up blitzing safeties. He just has a cerebral standpoint to be on the field, which promotes a lot of players faster than, you know, your ability to show run after the catch. I mean, you know, you mentioned a lot of times, Doc, about running backs. The biggest parts of a running back's job is to protect the quarterback, pick up blitzing, know your pass protection, things like that. So when you see young guys being able to do that, being able to handle that under the pressure that that's created by the coaching staff, by the veteran players, he starts to gain that respect. His respect is going to turn into confidence for himself. And we're seeing that with Van Johnson right now, Jefferson right now.
And I like it because he knows how to prepare. He knows what you have to do to prepare because, like you say, his dad, man, Sean Jefferson, man, was a baller, had a nice long NFL career. Now he's an NFL coach, been coaching nearly 20 years, man. So he knows how to prepare. That's that mental aspect that you talked about. He knows how to study. He knows how to study the playbook. He knows what to look for. He knows what not to look for. But he also understands what it means to be a complete wide receiver, because being a wide receiver just don't mean going out in routes and catching passes, man. You got to be able to do it all. You got to be able to block as well. Now, I don't really like to talk about the Chargers, but what I did like this week's Hard Knocks, man, is Chargers wide receivers coach going off on those receivers about blocking, man. I mean, going off, letting them know, man, Anthony Lynn saying the same thing. If you don't block, you can't play for me. And wide receivers blocking downfield, this is why it's important, because if you want to have long runs broken off by your running backs or even your quarterback that's scrambling down the field, wide receivers have to get on their man and block. You have to be a complete player, man. You cannot be selfish. Isaac, I know blocking is one of those things, man, that people that probably didn't even talk about you enough about, but not only was you a great route runner and going out catching that rock, but, I mean, you took pride in kind of punching some cats in the mouth because you'd like to see those running backs like Marshall Faulk and Steven Jackson and other dudes break long runs, man, to make the crowd go wild.
Absolutely, man. I mean, there are a couple of things that, you know, from my standpoint, that wide receivers get paid for. Number one, you get paid to practice. Number two, you get paid to block. I can catch balls and run routes on you all day. I love to do that. But the extra part of it, you know, like you mentioned, the blocking downfield, making sure that you're taking hits off your running back. There's only so many hits that a running back can take over his career. So, and those devastating hits are when this guy's being held up by some defensive lineman or some linebackers, and here comes that safety at the end to finish him off when he can't protect himself. So that falls into the responsibility of those wide receivers on the perimeter to make sure that you get in there and you take those extra hits off your running backs, take them off your guys. You got to remember, we work and play for each other. When you're out running routes and trying to get open, trying to get deep down the field on a 7-step drop, it's the running back that's in the pass pro that's helping you. So it works both ways. You got to make sure. And I think that we have guys like Kupp, we have guys like Robert Woods, Van Jefferson, Reynolds, who are big and tough enough to take on some of these strong safeties, these free safeties who are coming down in the box, trying to enforce their will on running backs and the running game. So you got to get in there. You got to get, you know, like the coach was saying, put your face in the fan. And sometimes you got to change it up on these guys. Cut them low. They don't like to be cut. And, you know, it's going to be some screaming. It's going to be some yelling. But when they hit you over the middle, trying to take your head off, they're going to be high-fiving over you. So this is the opportunity for those wide receivers to go into the box and really make your shoulder pads feel felt by these guys coming down trying to make tackles on your running backs.
Talking about somebody making people feel something, man. Aaron Donald, man. He hadn't gotten a lot of airtime in Hard Knocks so far. I mean, I don't know why, man. He got a great personality when you watch him on social media and things like that, man. Or maybe he don't want him around him as much. I don't know, man. But regardless, if he's not getting airtime on Hard Knocks, man, it don't matter. Because, bro, if just watching what he did in the short thing they showed us from the scrimmage, man, looked like dude had about 60 sacks, man. Now, we know how good he is. But it's like, damn, bro, he destroying the offensive lineman two and three at a time that's trying to block him. But we're not surprised, Isaac. That's what AD does, man.
You know, Aaron Donald is mid-season form right now, man. He puts in the work in the offseason, sows those seeds, and right now he's reaping harvests, man. So, it kind of reminded me just watching the footage on Aaron Donald on Hard Knocks. You know, my terms or some of my conversations with young defensive backs that I call myself developing or training or practicing against every day, I had a saying, man, I'm going to either put you in the Pro Bowl or on the waiver wire. So the choice is yours. Either you can work with me to get better, or you can be looking for a job somewhere down the road. So those guys who are going up against Aaron Donald right now, those offensive linemen, those interior players, you can either learn and work with him, do your best to stop, because you're not going to see anything better than him on game day. That's not happening. So you can either put yourself in the Pro Bowl or you can go in the waiver wire just going up against this guy every day.
No doubt about it, man. It's funny to hear Jared Goff say, man, Aaron Donald gets home fast. Yeah, he gets home fast. And speaking of a home, having a home is a blessing, and having a great heating and air conditioning system for that home is also a blessing. At Opox, they help you take care of that blessing by making sure your heating and air conditioning system is running properly. Their expert technicians have decades of experience, and their experience will make sure your experience at home is a comfortable one. Call Opox at 901-443-5153 for your heating, air conditioning, water heater, and furnace services. Opox, keeping you warm in the winter, cool in the summer. You know who else has been cool in the summer, Isaac? That dude, Jalen Ramsey, man. Now, we talk about AD doing what he does, 60 sacks in the scrimmage, man, and just absolutely destroying the offensive lineman. But Jalen Ramsey doing what he does as well, being a thief, stealing passes, man. Now, practice this week, man. Hey, everybody's talking about it. We saw a little highlight. One-handed interception in the end zone, man. Picked off Goff. Took it to the house. Touchdown really don't count, man. He flipped it to Aaron Donald, and Donald flipped into the end zone. Now, AD, chill out on that, bro. I mean, because we don't want nothing to happen to you, man, while you're doing all that unnecessary flipping. But Jalen Ramsey, balling, man. He's been as dominant like they want, like they expect, and dominant like they know he can be in camp so far. And he also hasn't gotten a lot of screen time. But, Isaac, we've talked about Jalen a lot, man, and this is not surprising, man, that he seems to be just shutting everybody down, man, and picking Goff off almost at will.
Well, you know, I think the same thing bodes well for, you know, the Cooper Cups, the Robert Woods, the Van Jeffersons, when we spoke about Aaron Donald. I mean, going up against a guy like Jalen Ramsey every day in practice, it's only going to make you better. It's only going to prepare you for what you're going to see down the road during the regular season, on Sunday, Monday nights, and those type games. So anytime you have an opportunity to go up and hone your skills versus one of the better corners in the league, you should take that opportunity. So I feel like that's what Jalen is doing right now. He's preparing himself for the long haul. It seems as if he has his mind on playing the game itself and not, you know, other things that, you know, from a business standpoint that has to be taken care of. So just being out there and him, you know, honing his skills, getting right, getting ready, and making plays in practice. So that's where it happens. You start to make plays in practice. It carryovers to games, and you know, you get stamped with more Pro Bowls, with more All Pro selections. So I'm not expecting anything less, but I'm expecting Jalen just to have a phenomenal football season this year.
Now, it seems like his good play and his great play and his attitude, man, is rubbing off on that whole room, which is important because you got to have good leadership in those individual rooms, because football is broken down, man. You have offense and defense, but then you have position groups and everybody kind of click with themselves. And really the offense kind of clicks with themselves and really don't deal with the defense too much. But Jalen Ramsey, man, having a leader in the room, man, doing some things, showing confidence, making plays. It seems to be rubbing off on some of those other young DBs, because Nick Scott, Jordan Fuller, Terrell Burgess, they've been making plays, man, picking cats off, getting interceptions, I guess, pretty much in every practice, man. So that's huge, especially with Taylor Rapp still being out, to see those other DBs stepping up and taking the confidence of Jalen Ramsey. And it's extremely important to have a leader in an individual position group like Jalen, like Aaron Donald, like somebody on offense to step up, man, because it holds that entire unit accountable. And it also, you know, it's contagious, right?
Oh, no doubt, man. I mean, these guys are invaluable assets, man. If you have guys who are so as young as Jared Goff is, man, his job is solidified, but at the same time, he's attempting to get better. So the younger guys under him, they just watch his approach. They watch him when he's being corrected, how he should answer, how they should answer, how they should respond to Coach McVay and the quarterback's coach. So it's important to have guys like that in your locker room just to hold everyone accountable, because you know, we set the tone in the locker room, and head coach should only be concerned with coaches coaching X's and O's. That should be his only concern, but we know much better than that. But when you have a bunch of or a group of guys in one locker room like that, man, it bodes well for everybody.
Now, it also bodes well, man, if the Rams have a capable backup, and it seems like the Rams are pretty much set on John Wolford being Goff's backup. Now, Wolford, not the biggest dude. You know, he's just a little bit over six, listed at 6'1", but who knows if he's really 6'1", man. But he's different. Now, he hasn't thrown a pass in the NFL yet, but it seems like the coaches like him because he has been making plays during training camp so far, throwing a couple of long strikes, making a couple of big runs. And that's one of the things, man. He's a different dynamic from Goff. You know, Goff is back there. He's not very mobile, semi-athletic, but not very mobile. But Wolford is a very mobile quarterback. He can do a lot with his legs. Sean McVay compares him to Doug Flutie, and that's some high praise, because Doug Flutie was a small quarterback and he was a baller, man. But you know, we're gonna need somebody in case something happened to Goff to be able to step up, lead the offense, lead the team. And I guess Wolford would give a defense problems, because he comes in, man, and you know Goff is like really standing there, man. I'm gonna throw it, I'm gonna stand in the pocket. But with Wolford, you don't really know much about him. He's a running quarterback, and when running quarterback, we know, man, when things break down, they can always make something happen, and that's important, especially for a Rams offense like we have.
Well, I'll tell you what, Kevin O'Connell, offense coordinator, Shane Waldron, assistant quarterback coach, got the work cut out for him, man. But here's another thing. I mean, you have to factor this in as well, Doc. Just once again, just not having these preseason games and only scrimmages. So, you know, backup quarterback, starting quarterback, you get used to seeing what your defense is placing in front of you every day. So not having preseason games, you don't have that ability really to really work on your skills versus someone else, a different team, under game type situation. So, but I mean, I wouldn't say, you know, the backup position is solidified. It may, you know, got a little bit more clearer. But here's the thing: the Rams aren't limited to what's on their roster right
true,
now.
True.
I mean, you know, those cuts are going to happen. I mean, teams from around the league may figure out we can't keep this guy, and that guy may fit what Sean McVay likes to do. He may be similar to Jared Goff in some kind of form or fashion. But you know, it's all about having that opportunity. When you have that opportunity, like he had this past scrimmage in SoFi, you got to take advantage of it.
And you always have to take advantage of every rep you get in there, man. And watching Hard Knocks, man, it seems like they've been giving a lot of attention to the rookie linebacker from Baylor, man, Clay Johnston. Getting a lot of airtime, man. Just watching him, he admits, man, he's making a lot of mistakes, which rookies do, because they don't – hey, things move fast, man. Things move different. If you're not where you're supposed to be, man, cat's coming. Cat's not waiting on you. But I know what HBO is what's doing, man, because it's a TV show. See, they don't really show us too much of the stars or the people we know because they like to build up characters. Klay Johnson is a nice little character. He says gosh, golly, and things like that. But they're setting you up to be emotional, man, because there's a chance Klay may be end up getting released. So they're showing you him. They're showing you Dante Dion, which Dion been balling, man. So he probably pretty much going to be on the squad. You know, been on the practice squad up and down. But anyway, but Klay Johnson, that emotional tie-in, man. See, I'm telling you, Rams fans, they want you to love Klay and everything that happens, because if he does get cut, so now you emotionally vested in the show, you're going to be upset. But if he makes the team, because he almost like the underdog, so that's a win-win situation for him. But just looking at Klay and the other young cats, and I'm listening to him, man, I'm just making a lot of mistakes. Hey, man, you laughing about it, I understand, but that's something you got to clear up real fast, young fella, because constantly making them mistakes, man, it's just not going to roll, man, especially now that we in pads.
It's got to be cleaned up, Doc. I mean, it's a unique story. I mean, we're talking about a guy, you know, played at Baylor. I think his last season, he tore his ACL. So, you know, it wasn't much film out there on him other than what he did, you know, the year he was on the field. I believe his junior year. So, but we're talking about a guy who really grew up around professional sports, professional football. You know, his dad was a strength coach over at Green Bay for a while. So, you know, he's used to the atmosphere of a professional football camp. So I think that gives him an edge. And, you know, some reports out that it says that he could have been a third, maybe a fourth round pick had he not torn his ACL. So, you know, this guy's just really getting back into football, really getting his legs back under him. And, you know, once again, these preseason games not being able to be played, you know, it affects guys like Klay. So hopefully, you know, mentally he can get it right, be where he's supposed to be when he's supposed to be there, and, you know, be able to execute from walkthrough to the next time the next scrimmage comes up, and make leaps and bounds. So that's what these coaches are looking for right now. Can you add on to the grade that you received from this last scrimmage? Can you add on to that? Can your reps be better, each rep be better the next time I allow you to get on the field? So that's what's going to be seen. That's what's going to be asked of guys like Klay, and hopefully he does it.
Yeah, and you got to get out there, man. You got to be ready to play, man. You got to take advantage of every rep. And fact of the matter is, man, it's a whole different ball game, man. When you get out there and they put them pads on, especially when it's live fire, oh, man, it's totally different. I still remember one of my first practices at training camp, man. I'm in fullback. I'm in three-point stance. Hell, man. As soon as the ball was snapped, man, Robert Jones playing middle linebacker, he had shot through the gap and smacked me right in my mouth before I even had a chance to look up, man. So that let me know right then. Not only do I know the snap count, I got to be ready to go right now. I don't know if the quarterback looked at him and told him something, but it's a different ball game, man, and it wakes you up real fast, man. But I tell you what. Damn it, it didn't happen again. It didn't happen again, Isaac. But yeah, man, quit making those mistakes, man, and get out. And not only just Klay, man, all of you young players, man, just go out there and ball. But you got to know what you're doing, man, because don't give them a reason to scream at you. Don't give them a reason to put that red dot on you in the film room. That's another thing I was looking at. That coach, man, when that eye in the sky don't lie, man. When they put that on that film and you some trash out there, Isaac, hey, bro, everybody there to see that, man. The cat's going to clown you, too.
Well, I'll tell you what, I mean, in the learning process, you know, coaches want smart players. We want smart players as fans, but also we want players that have a motor. And if you don't know a play, if you choose to just go fast and do it hard, do it fast, you'll stand out that way. I mean, I know a lot of guys who made teams from that standpoint. They feel like coaches feel like they're physically able to do the job. We just have to teach them how to play it. So you get opportunities like that. Coach Vermeil, he was the same way. He'd see a lot of guys who were physically able to make plays, and he just felt like you just had to coach these guys up, and once you coach them up, you have a productive football player.
Damn, that's a good point, man. Yeah, just go out there and ball, man. Just ball, even if you don't know what the hell you're doing. Just go out there and ball, man. Hopefully you don't get anybody hurt, but I tell you what, though, if you're supposed to be pass blocking, you better pass block. Damn all that effort and stuff. You better pass block because you better take care of that quarterback. And you also got to stay healthy, man. So that's extremely important, man. Our little running back, man, Darrell Henderson, suffered a little mild hamstring injury, man, so he's out for a minute. Hey, man, and them hamstrings can be crucial. I caught one my last year at the University of Memphis, man. It really set me down for 4 or 5 games, man. That on top of having a broken hand. And Isaac, I know you've dealt with some hamstring injuries as well, man. So mild hamstring, major hamstring. It's good that it's a mild hamstring, but if you're not careful, man, that mild hamstring injury can turn into a major hamstring injury quick as heck.
Hey, faith tells time what to do. So make sure you're talking to that thing every day, man, and don't let it linger on. So if you have to make an adjustment in your diet, do that. But everything in your power, get back on that field as soon as you can.
No doubt about it, man. And the Rams announcing, man, that no fans will be allowed in the opening game, opening night, primetime football against the Dallas Cowboys, man. The Rams got in there and practiced in it for the first time, and they had their scrimmage, and it is absolutely ridiculously bootiful, not beautiful, but bootiful. No Rams, I mean, no fans going to be able to experience it, man. But you looking at SoFi, man, I can't even deny, bro. That thing is just absolutely, it's unreal, man.
It's nice, man. That's something that you get for $4 billion. But, I mean, it looks like, you know, you don't want to spill anything in there. Just so, you know, just start imagining all the Gatorade that's going to be thrown on the business on the sideline and that type of stuff. But definitely a beautiful place, man. You know, with no fans being allowed, you know, I sent out a tweet the other day saying that we should have a watch party at my old school, Santa Monica City College, in the parking lot somewhere. Get some screens and let Mr. Kroenke pay for the screens and take care of the fans, man. Either that or the old Fox Hills Mall off Sepulveda there, man. Just do something for the fans and make sure the fans are happy. So when we are allowed to have fans back in, they'll be extra hungry and extra loud to help stop some of these opposing offenses that are going to be coming in the SoFi.
No doubt about it, because it's going to be extremely quiet, man. But just playing in an empty football stadium, man. See, basketball, you can pretty much close it. You can close it in a little bit to make it feel a little bit more intimate, man. But that's going to be strange, man. You got this beautiful place, man. They're just going to cast, going to be in there knocking heads. And a lot of players, man, they need fans in the stands, man, to really play at their optimal. But that's how you're going to prove, man, the professionals versus the actors. Because the professionals, because I know when I was playing, man, I really didn't hear any fans or see any fans. It's just straight tunnel vision. So it wouldn't have been a problem for me, and I don't think it would have been a problem for you either, man.
Absolutely. You got to create your own energy, man. So it's an opportunity for you to just zone in on your job. Don't pay attention to what's not in the stands, the music that's being played. I'm sure there'll be a lot of artificial music that's being pumped into the stadium this year. Wink, wink to this New Orleans Saints, who used to do it, and it was against the rules, you know, back in my day. But, yeah, I mean, that's going to be the way to, you know, kind of, you know, assimilate what the players are used to, you know, pumping the music, the artificial noise, sounds, and that type of stuff to get these players ready to play. But hopefully they are professionals and won't need that in the stands. You know, you'll get your hugs when you get home, when you get in the car and get home, and that type of stuff.
And plus, man, ESPN Sports Center still be there. L.A. Ramblings will still be there. We'll talk about you. We're going to show you some love. That's if you're balling. If you some doo-doo, we're going to talk about that as well, man. But you heard Isaac talk about social media. Follow him on Twitter, man, at IsaacBruce80. I'm at @_DocHoliday. The show is at LA Ramblings. Follow us on Twitter, man, and we really, really appreciate you all listening. Thank you. And also another special thanks, man, to our first couple of sponsors, man. All praises to the Most High, man. Bet Online and OPOX Heating and Air Conditioning Service, man. Hey, Isaac. Just blessings upon blessings, man. I mean, I'm so thankful, brother. I don't even know what to say, man. I get a little emotional, man, because seriously, I don't care what y'all say. Man, God is good to me. He's good to my brother, man. And just doing this show, man, and just getting the support and just seeing the blessings flow. Oh, my gosh, Isaac.
Indeed, man. His mercies endure forever. So, you know, I mean, we're blessed to be blessed. So, man, I'm going to make sure, you know, I find an outlet to bless someone else with this newcome income, man. So I'm happy for it, and I'm excited for more, man.
No doubt. And I'm excited for more Ramblings with the Golden Child, Isaac Bruce, and I'm Doc Holliday. That's going to do it for this week's episode. I promise you, we'll be back if God allows and he's willing. But if he's willing, and I think he's willing, we'll be back to give you more LA Ramblings with Pro Football Hall of Famer Isaac Bruce and myself, Doc Holliday. Until next week, we out.